Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. On today's show, Aaron Boone is back, and I have a lot of thoughts about that. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you know I have a lot of thoughts about that. And we'll talk about other stuff, obviously, but that's the biggest news.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. This is Stacey Gatsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees. I was a writer for Baseball Prospectus for the Hardball Times. My work appeared on ESPN. I contributed to a special commemorative Derek Jeter magazine during his last season, and those are my credentials for you. I was born in Manhattan, raised by a Bronx-born Greek-American named Gus Gatsoulias, who loved the Yankees. And if I didn't become a Yankee fan, he probably would have disowned me. So it's because of my father that I am doing this today. Thank you, Dad. Anyway, those are my credentials, just in case you are watching the show for the first time. And you can find us on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, everywhere. We're free. You can watch us on YouTube. And you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So let's get into it. Aaron Boone, I joked about it yesterday, I believe, that I had a feeling that something was going to be happening with him. And I joked that if there was any big news, you would find out about it. And sure enough, the Yankees announced that they signed him to a three-year deal. Now, there was a post on Reddit last night. Not that Reddit is a place that you should get your information, but this person claimed that they could not tell their source, but that the Yankees were going to announce that they were re-signing Boone today. And sure enough. So I'm not sure if this guy was Jorge Posada's doorman or where he got the information. And if you're an OG Yankee fan, you get that reference. Anyway, so the news came out. Aaron Boone signed to a three-year contract with an option for a fourth. And I will read the statement sent out by the Yankees this morning when they announced it. Happened, when was that? Like 10 this morning? And like I said, we kind of knew it was happening when they fired everyone else, or not fired, didn't re-sign a lot of the other guys from the coaching staff. As I mentioned yesterday, Marcus Thames, Phil Nevin, and PJ, wait, what was his name? Oh, why can't I think of his name? The assistant hitting coach. Forgive me, I can't remember his name, and I'm seeing it in my brain, and he also was let go. So Aaron Boone signed for a three-year contract through the 2024 season, which is crazy to think about, with a club option for 2025. Hal Steinbrenner said, "We have a person and manager in Aaron Boone who possesses the baseball acumen and widespread respect in our clubhouse to continue to guide us forward. As a team and as an organization, we must grow and improve. We need to get better, period. I know Aaron fully embraces our expectations of success, and I look forward to drawing on his intelligence, instincts, and leadership in pursuit of our next World Series championship." Mm-hmm. Sure, Hal. I believe you. Okay. I think the fact that the Red Sox are cruising towards another World Series is what's driving me crazy about this. Hal Steinbrenner can say everything that he wants about, we want to win, they know our expectations, but he's not showing me that he really wants to win. Because if he really wanted to win, they wouldn't have Aaron Boone as the manager, okay? I know there are, you know, they mentioned even in the release, let's see. He's the second manager in baseball history to reach the postseason in each of his four managerial seasons, joining Mike Matheny, who did that with St. Louis. He's the third manager to make the playoffs in each of his four first seasons with the Yankees, joining Casey Stengel, who did it from 49 to 53. That was also quite a run for the Yankees. And Joe Torre from 96. Well, he did it from 96 to 2007. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. If they really wanted to win, they wouldn't have Aaron Boone as the manager. That wouldn't have happened 4 years ago. They went so far to the other end of the spectrum. Joe Girardi was very rigid. You know, everyone made fun of him because he had the binder. You know, certain beat writers love to joke about the binder. They'd tweet about it. They'd refer to it in their articles. They would just be really snarky about it. And he was very, he was more fiery than Boone. You know, Boone had his savages in the box moment. But other than that, there are times when Boone should have been angry with this team this year, and he wasn't. And the team needed him to be a little more fiery. He's a little too passive. And like I said, it was like Girardi was one end of the spectrum. Boone is the other end of the spectrum. If they could find someone in the middle there to manage this current Yankees team, I think they'd be more successful. Now, granted, a bunch of guys had down years. You know, guys weren't hitting the way they hit the first couple seasons they were with the Yankees. DJ LeMahieu had a down year. Understandable. Luke Voit was hurt a lot. Gleyber Torres can't hit the ball out of the park anymore. That might have to do with the balls not being juiced. And it's kind of funny that the two guys who were pretty steady for most of the year were the guys that everyone was worried about being hurt all year, and they weren't. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. I joked at the beginning of the season, my bold prediction was that they were going to play in at least 40 games together. And they played way more than that. Both of them played over 120 games each, at least, right? So, yeah, those two were the two steady guys on the team in the lineup. That was basically it. You know, so that's not all Aaron Boone's fault. And the Yankees' year wasn't all Aaron Boone's fault. But he was a contributing factor to how the Yankees finished in the division, certain moves that were made. You know, a lot was said about the fact that the Yankees couldn't sweep series. That was a big knock on the Yankees. And it was annoying, really annoying, that they'd be in cruise control for the first two games or three games of a series. Not that they didn't sweep. There were a few sweeps there. But there were a bunch of times where they could have swept a series and ended up only winning two out of three because it felt like Aaron Boone was punting the last game of the series, putting out a C lineup, resting guys when they shouldn't rest guys, especially on, say, a Sunday when they had an off day on a Monday and the person could have rested then. So there were a bunch of games that they probably should have won and didn't because of decisions either coming from the front office or coming from Boone. And that's another issue I have with Aaron Boone, and we'll get into that in the next segment. I brought it up yesterday. I'm going to talk about it again today because it is a big problem. And one of the coaches in the NLCS admitted this issue. So we'll talk about that in a bit. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and then wait for the person behind the counter to order the parts on their computers, but choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with Rock Auto on them, at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money with Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. So back to the Aaron Boone thing and the way he manages and the way the team is run. It's not just the Yankees. There seems to be a new revolution in baseball. And I don't completely hate it, but I can see how this way of operating a baseball team can screw things up a little bit. Dave Roberts admitted either after the first game of the NLCS or before the first game of the NLCS, because that was a bullpen game for the Dodgers. And he admitted that that order came from above. The front office basically was like, you're doing a bullpen game. This is how it's going to work. I feel like that's what's happening with the Yankees. It happened last year. If you've listened to this podcast, you know how much I went off on the Yankees after they pulled that stunt in game two against the Rays, where they didn't pitch Masahiro Tanaka. They did a bullpen game. Drove me absolutely insane. I'm still annoyed. It's a year later, and I'm still annoyed that the Yankees did this because they screwed themselves in the playoffs by trying to be cute in game two. I feel as if the front office should do front office duties, and they should allow the manager to deal with the day-to-day stuff. The manager should set the lineup. The manager should put people where they're supposed to be in the field and figure out the lineup. I don't like that baseball teams, front offices, and they have different divisions now that are running this stuff. I don't mind stats. I really don't. I know all that stuff. And I think there's a place for them, obviously, because if you know that a certain guy is a good on-base guy, you know that a certain guy is better at getting the ball in the air. If you know a guy is better on the bases, you know where to put them in the lineup. And I think a manager would know that. And I feel like the front office and the other parts of the organization shouldn't get involved in this stuff because they're muddying up everything. Is that the word? I don't know. I feel like the Yankees are trying to be like other teams and it's not working. And they showed that in game two against the Rays last year. They tried to be like the Rays and it blew up in their faces. And it feels as if they keep trying to do it in the regular season as well. I mentioned this on my show a few weeks ago. Joey Gallo, when he came over, the Yankees kept batting him at the top of the lineup. And he told them he didn't like hitting at the top of the lineup. So he wasn't really doing much his first few games. And I know he didn't do much as a Yankee, but when they moved him down to the fifth spot, he was hitting the ball or walking or doing, like, feeling more comfortable. And then they started putting him back at the top of the lineup. And I don't understand why the team isn't listening to the players. They're baseball players. These, no offense, but these guys are weird. They have superstitions. They have routines. They feel comfortable doing certain things. You know, there are guys who prefer to be DH. There are guys who prefer to be on the field. You know, we saw it this year with Stanton. He was doing a lot better when he was playing in the field because he was more of a complete player when he was playing on the field. And I know I joked in the beginning of the season that if we saw Giancarlo Stanton in the field at any point, that meant that something bad happened to the rest of the team. But it turns out he didn't break himself playing the field. Sure, there were a couple of questionable plays that he made, but there were a few good plays that he made when he was playing the field. And now that we know that he can play the field, maybe the Yankees will do it more often and put their big boy outfield out there. That was one of my favorite things about the season, especially when the Yankees were doing well during that winning streak and they had Gallo in left, Judge in center, Stanton in right. Like, when you think about baseball in 2021, and I joke about this all the time, the guys are huge. There are so many huge guys in baseball now. And I spoke about this on the show earlier this season with David Cohen. I joked about how it seemed like all these pitchers are, you know, made in labs. They don't feel like real people because they're just so big and they throw so hard. And, you know, when Aroldis Chapman burst onto the scene and he was throwing over 100 with regularity, people were like, whoa. And that was only like, what, 8 years ago? And now it's almost as if someone can't throw 100, they're weird. And I joke about that with Nestor Cortez. He could barely throw 92, 93, and yet he was getting guys out. It's just, baseball is changing. And I guess that's why they have the front offices interfering with what the teams are doing. But I don't know. I guess I'm old school in the sense where I feel like the front office should do their thing. And sure, let the manager know about certain numbers. You have your stats department and they can let you know what's going on. But I feel like day to day, it should be the manager's job to, this guy's going to start, this guy's going to be pitching, and this is going to be the lineup. I feel like that shouldn't come from above. And we're seeing it more and more. And for some teams it works, but I feel like for the Yankees, it doesn't. Aaron Boone had no managerial experience before he came to the Yankees. Yes, he's a baseball guy. He was born into baseball. His dad played, he played, his brother played, his grandfather played. Everyone played baseball. That's great. But he didn't have managerial experience. Did he even manage a little league team? No. And I said it 4 years ago, not that I hosted the show 4 years ago, but when I was writing about baseball and tweeting about baseball, I wanted someone who had experience as a major league coach to be the manager. I wanted Hensley Mullins, honestly. I did not want Aaron Boone. I didn't think Aaron Boone could come into the Yankees, no matter how good the team was, and be a good manager. Now, he lucked out in 2018 and 2019 because he had a really good team. 2019, though, not that he lucked out. I mean, that was the year that, what they have, 31, 33. It was somewhere in that range of guys on the IL, and they still won 103 games because that was the next man up year. That was anytime someone came up to the team, they did either as well as the player they were replacing or better than the player they were replacing. It was just, that was a crazy year, and that team really should have gone farther than the sixth game of the ALCS, but that's neither here nor there. But I feel like he lucked out with his team. And the 2021 Yankees should have won at least 100 games. And there were games, as I mentioned earlier, that Aaron Boone gave away by not putting out a good lineup during the third or fourth game of a series where they could have swept. And they just said, well, as long as we're winning series, it's fine. No, it's not fine. Because you went that way and finished tied with the Red Sox, but because you were so horrible against them in the beginning of the year, the Red Sox got home field advantage. Now, the Red Sox could have done the same thing to the Yankees at Yankee Stadium in the wild card game, but I feel like the Yankees would have had a better chance in the wild card game if they were at home. And that just didn't happen because of certain decisions that Aaron Boone made. Again, it's not completely his fault, but he is a key contributor to why the 2021 Yankees underperformed. And I don't think he should have been rewarded with a 3-year contract. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks this way. And I like Boone. He's a nice guy. I know that he gets along well with the players. But as I said earlier, he needs to be fiery. That's why everyone loved the Savages in the Box rant, because that was Boone being a fiery manager. And now I feel like he's being too passive. And it drives me crazy. And I think it drives a lot of other people crazy. So while the Red Sox are on their way to another World Series, probably, because I don't see the Astros recovering from this, the Yankees are rehiring their manager, or re-signing their manager to a 3-year deal after getting rid of most of his coaching staff. BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite casino games from Vegas. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, can I rant more about Aaron Boone? No. Now, it's funny. I was looking up games to talk about today for October 19th, and I was looking at 96, 98, 99, 2000. You know, the good years for the Yankees. 09, I was looking at that. And they played barely any games during most of those years. They did play in 09, and they lost that game. And if I recall correctly, I'm going to look at the box score right now. Right. That was the day game, because the NLCS was the night game. It was in Anaheim. The Yankees lost in 11 innings, 5-4. And I remember that I didn't watch most of that game because I was stuck at work and I was trying to keep track on my phone, but it was 2009. What did I have in 2009? I had a BlackBerry Storm. Horrible phone. Awful. It was my first smartphone. Hated it. Couldn't wait to get rid of it. It was awful. It was cool because it was a touchscreen BlackBerry and it didn't have the built-in keyboard. It was on the screen, but oh no, it was not a good phone. And I was trying to figure out like what was happening in the game. I was stuck on the train and yeah, I missed most of that game, but they lost 5-4 after winning the first two games. It was game three of the series. I was at game two, the two nights before that. That was the infamous slightly rainy day. It was cold that night. I wore four layers that night because it was misty and damp. And it started not pouring rain, but there was a good amount of moisture in the air that night, let's say. And it was just brutally cold. It really was. But the Yankees won in extra innings. That was the Jerry Hairston Jr. crossing home plate. And during the walk-off celebration, they knocked him over, if I recall correctly. And that was the Eric Ibar making an error when I think Melky was up. He threw past second base, which is how Jerry Hairston Jr. scored. But that was the infamous game. I will tell this story because I love it so much. I was sitting in section 206 of the new stadium and A-Rod came up. The Yankees were down a run. Sean Figgins hit a single in the top of the 11th and put the Angels up 3-2. And the bottom of the 11th, Brian Fuentes came in to pitch. He replaced Aaron Oliver and A-Rod came up. And this guy a few seats over from me yelled at A-Rod to earn his paycheck. I'm not even kidding. 2 seconds later, he hit the tying home run. And me being me, this guy sitting next to me said, did he earn his paycheck? And then I punctuated it with a bad name. And then me and the guy next to me, we high-fived because it's like 2009. At that point in 2009, A-Rod did a lot in the playoffs. So for this guy to scream, earn your paycheck, was just silly. I mean, even if he just hit the home run off Joe Nathan in the division series at that point, it was enough for him to earn his paycheck. But A-Rod had a bonkers first two series of that playoffs run. And for that guy to say that was just really stupid and silly. But anyway, the game three, 5-4, I have no idea what happened in this game because I didn't even watch it. I admit it. I was stuck at work. And as I said, this was before we had streaming stuff on our phone that we could watch and all that stuff. That's how long ago it was. It was a really long time ago. My goodness. Andy Pettitte started the game. He did not get the loss because it went into extra innings. Alfredo Aceves got the loss. But here's who pitched for the Yankees that game. That's a lot of pitchers. And the Angels had a lot of guys pitching too, but not as many as the Yankees. Andy Pettitte started. He pitched 6 1/3. Then Jabba Chamberlain came in for an out. Damaso Marte came in for an out. Phil Koch came in for an out. Phil Hughes pitched 1 2/3. Mo pitched an inning. David Robertson had got two outs. And then Aceves gave up the winning hit. 2, 3, 5. That's a lot of pitchers. That's eight pitchers. Oh my goodness. Jared Weaver started through five innings, gave up three runs. Pettitte gave up three runs in those 6 1/3. Darren Oliver pitched, Kevin Jepsen, Fuentes, Jason Bulger, and then Irvin Santana got the win because he was pitching at the end of the game. And I remember that series. I believe I spoke about this on another show. The Yankees had issues with the Angels in 02 and 05. We remember them really well. 02 was a very disappointing loss because the Yankees were really good in 2002. I don't know if people remember how good the Yankees were, and they just didn't have it against the Angels, and it was very frustrating to watch. Then 2005 was the infamous series when no one could hit. Sheffield was shut down. Matsui was shut down. A-Rod wasn't even really pitched to. Like, his on-base percentage during that series was like 400 because they kept walking him. And that was the infamous Bubba Crosby, Gary Sheffield crash at the wall in Anaheim, that high wall in right center. So when the Yankees were playing the Angels in 09, a lot of people just assumed, oh, well, the Angels always beat the Yankees. And my thought was, and I said this on the show last week, it was a 7-game series this time in 09. And I felt the Yankees had a better chance. 5-game series are really a crapshoot when you think about it, because it's not always the best team that wins a 5-game series. Anything can go wrong. Like, you have more leeway in a 7-game series. You have more time to catch up, make up for the fact that you're down 0-2. When you're down 0-2 in a 5-game series, it's a lot more dire than when you're down in a 7-game series, especially if you're down 0-2 on the road and you get play the middle 3 games at home or something to that effect. But I felt in 09, even after, you know, the Yankees won the first 2 games and then the Angels won the 3rd game. And I remember people thinking, oh, here we go again. And I was like, this is totally different. It's not the same. The Yankees will be fine. And even though the Angels pushed it to a 6th game, I wasn't worried about the Yankees losing that series. I didn't think they would, and they didn't. And I was at that 6th game. I watched them win their 40th pennant, and it was lovely. And can we go back to that, please? Because the Yankees are at home watching the Red Sox beat up on the Astros in the ALCS. And I know some of those guys are watching. You know they are. Even if they're not putting it on Instagram or tweeting about it, you know that they're sitting there watching it and just being like, ugh, this should be us. It should be. But anyway, it should be you. Anyway, Aaron Boone is back. 3 more years. I guess we'll find out who the Yankees will be posting about. Posting about? What? No, I just read something that, sorry. I guess we'll find out who the Yankees will be picking for the team to be with Boone. I think it was on yesterday's show, I mentioned that Brendan Cuddy of NewJersey.com said that the Yankees were looking for someone to be the yin to Aaron Boone's yang. Yin yang. And again, if you need someone to help your manager manage, get someone who can manage. That makes sense. But no, the Yankees have to do things the hard way. And the Yankees are just, they're not going to win a World Series for a while. Just buckle up. Not with Hal at the helm and with Hal saying, Boone knows our expectations for success. What expectations? Because you're perfectly happy with this. You may come out and say, oh, I'm not, you know, Yankees lost in the wild card game. This is not what we wanted, but it's all lip service. I'm not seeing anything that indicates that you're really serious about anything and you want to improve this team. Because if you want to improve the team, you need to change things in the front office. I love Brian Cashman. He did some great things for the Yankees, but the Yankees need new blood. Everyone's joking about, you know, the poor Mets having to look for a GM and all the stuff going on with the Mets. But you know what? The Yankees are becoming almost as funny as the Mets and almost as much of a joke as the Mets at this point. And it's getting frustrating to watch, and they need to make a change. So that is it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Now you can make your second listen Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present, and it's free and available on all platforms. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.